Window World, the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs, presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues online at windowskansascity.com.
So many of our listeners are dads. We hope you had a great Father's Day over the weekend. And I was stunned to hear over the past few days the number of friends and family that I ran into that have this Monday off for Juneteenth. Who knew that was a thing, adding another holiday? If we're just going to keep adding holidays and having days off, could we please work on the Monday after the Super Bowl? Could we make that the day? Isn't that the day we should have? Can we move Juneteenth and call it Febteenth? Just have it Monday right after the Super Bowl or something? I don't know. I'm no Juneteenth expert. I don't mean to make fun of it or mock it. Whatever it is, it's out there. We talked about it the last couple of years and the historical, the history around it and why it occurs and all that. But I don't care that much to address too much of it. But I am surprised to learn each year more and more family and friends of people that I know are off on this day and don't have to work on Juneteenth. We hope you had a great Father's Day. We certainly did at the Keatsman House. We had a couple of events on Father's Day, really a weekend long deal. I spent Father's Day Saturday with my daughter and her boyfriend. We had a wonderful time. When she was little, I taught her how to hit golf balls as we grew up on a golf course on a par three, but she didn't really enjoy it. She was into gymnastics and other sports and cheerleading and things like that. So she never really enjoyed golf, and we just haven't played much. She's now in her mid to late 20s, and we went to Topgolf on Saturday afternoon, and I was really kind of surprised to see that she smacks the ball pretty darn good. She remembers the stuff from when she was a little girl, and she's fairly athletic, and she just walks up and starts hitting. I said, Abby, you know, the older you get, the more you maybe want to play this, and her boyfriend has a lot of opportunities to play through his work and things that he does. And played with his dad on Father's Day. I'm like, yeah, you guys ought to take the game up. Let's go. That would be some good daddy-daughter time. As she's all grown up and an adult, I would love it if she'd play golf with me and Jessica. We had a wonderful time doing that. Then we spent some time with Jessica's family out at Raintree Lake, a beautiful part of the Kansas City area where they live, near Lee's Summit, in Lee's Summit. And it was a dog fest. Her mom got a puppy last week. And her brother about 10 days ago got a puppy, and all three of our families have a dog. Each of them now has multiple dogs, and we had five dogs at Father's Day yesterday. And Dave, my father-in-law, grilled up some delicious steaks. It was fantastic. Wonderful, wonderful meal and a relaxing afternoon, and I even laid down for a few minutes on an outdoor sofa in the shade. It was just a wonderful day before returning home to watch the U.S. Open. We'll talk a little golf a little bit later in the show. But we hope you had a great, great Father's Day, and everybody does it in a different kind of way. We got a lot of dads that listen to the podcast, so way to go, dads. Unheralded, and that's just the way we like it. Every year when Father's Day comes around, somebody does a story on how important dads are and the role of the father in the family. And I've never been one to bang that drum or spend a whole lot of time talking about that issue, because I've always felt like the dad's role is not to be the silent partner in this thing, but go ahead and be the unheralded one. Don't seek glory. We know as dads what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to lead, how we're supposed to be models for our children and teach right from wrong, responsibility, working, providing, things like that. There are very traditional roles for fathers in families that are very, very important. And hopefully you've been able to do that. Hopefully in some small way I've done that. For my kids, we had a wonderful Father's Day and hope you enjoyed yours. We are not taking any kind of a break here at KKHI. We are working on Juneteenth. We don't recognize this as a day off. We got a lot of days here we don't recognize as days off. That's okay. I figure many of you are going to be in your regular routine, and we appreciate you listening to the podcast any chance you get. I saw a story on Sunday night. I do a lot of the research for the podcast in the evening before the podcast, and I like reading up, and I'd gone a couple of days over the weekend without reading up much on anything at all. And I was reading this report, I think it was from Daily Caller or Breitbart, that Devin Archer, who was once on the Burisma board with Hunter Biden and these Burisma Ukrainian gas and oil company executive jobs that they had, he was his best friend in college. They'd been business associates for many, many years. Devin Archer found himself in legal trouble, swindling a Native American tribe and owing $43 million in a judgment. He has all kinds of legal woes and legal troubles. And it is being reported now that Devin Archer, who knows like literally everything about Hunter Biden and Biden's businesses, who was considered part of their family, an extension of their family. It is being reported now that he is negotiating testimony to the House Oversight Committee. And I wonder where all this is going, because I'll get to some polling here in a moment, some polling that came out over the weekend. Polling since Trump was run off into court in Miami again, indicted again by the feds. And it's very interesting and it's very telling. And I think the question that I have now is, are we in a meaningful way headed to a third party candidate this time that is substantial? Because my generic belief, and again, it would depend on the candidate. Obviously, if you know, Ron DeSantis is the third party candidate, that would be bad for business. It would be splitting a Republican vote and just handing it to Democrats. But by and large, if you just think generically, a third party candidate, even if it was somebody like Chris Christie, who, you know, branched out from the Republican side, or Joe Manchin, who's more conservative or whatever, but is a Democrat, even if it was one of those, I keep thinking to myself, Donald Trump, this cannot be debated. Okay, this there's poll after poll after poll that shows this cannot be debated about Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the most popular single political candidate in America. That is true. His vote is baked in. You can write it down right now. He's got 80 million votes. If he runs for president, he's got it. And there's polling that shows that. And I'm wondering, as the Republicans are going and trying to get Devin Archer to testify and have all this testimony on Hunter Biden and then attaching Joe Biden to it, are they trying to get Joe Biden out of the race? Because you've heard me say many times, I really don't think we want that. I think we want to run against Joe Biden. We want to run against what people have felt in the economy, a war that he loves, and a bumbling president that nobody thinks is all there. That's who you want to run against. Now, a third-party candidate, I would welcome. I would absolutely welcome that. I've escapes my mind right now, the activist gentleman that threw his name in the ring last year. He's a black pundit that's on CNN from time to time. If he runs as a third-party candidate and gets on the ballot in all these states, really not all the states, who cares about all the states? If he gets on the ballot in the swing states, which is most important, can he peel away 5% of the vote in those states? Because if he does, he's going to take a whole bunch more votes away from Biden than he does Trump. So I think we're about to see really an election like we have never seen before. America is undecided that they want either Biden or Trump. I think that's part of this. There's negatives on both of them that are very high. A lot of people don't like either one of these people and would rather just be able to go pull the lever for someone else, if nothing else, as a protest vote. That I don't like Biden against Trump again, I'll pull the lever for somebody else. The good news is that wouldn't be Trump voters. Trump voters aren't going in there to protest anything. They're going in to vote for Trump. And the numbers are there. And as they try to bring all of this Biden stuff full circle, I think it's clearly more serious. Taking bribes for U.S. policy is clearly more serious than anything they could level on Donald Trump. Joe Biden going after Donald Trump for a crime that he himself committed in a worse fashion because he couldn't have declassified him because he wasn't president is just absurd. We're living in crazy times. And so a Quinnipiac poll comes out over the weekend, and on ABC News, Jonathan Carl makes a big deal with his panel on Sunday that look at this Quinnipiac poll. Biden is only up 48-44 head-to-head against Trump. And then he's astounded. He's like, well, what, how can this possibly be? They indicted the man last week. And all I can say in response to this is you might as well tear that poll up and throw it in the trash, because there's no way Biden is leading any poll in this country right now. That's not possible. There is no way Joe Biden is winning anything right now. Can it change? I guess. Can Trump be completely dragged down? And if they lock him up in jail, and is there a trial? Is there a misstep? Look, anything can change. It's a long way from the election. And I don't know whether a third party candidate is really going to materialize, but there are some real, I believe every one of the next numbers in the next poll I'm going to give you. I believe these. This is just our opinion, our common sense, things that we see, view, hear, whatever. The Harris-Harvard poll, I believe, and it says Trump is the single most popular politician in America, with 45% of respondents in the poll saying he's their guy. Very favorable. 45%. So 45% of America loves Donald Trump. Now, it'd be great if that was 55. It's not, but it's 45. Those people aren't going anywhere. They're not. Now, if Trump gets out and DeSantis is running, they would switch to DeSantis. We would see that. But 45% of Americans view Donald Trump favorably. Joe Biden, his number's 41. It's much lower. They have a plus or minus ratio here. They do your favorable, unfavorable. And I believe this with Donald Trump. Trump's 45 are solid, rock solid, the most popular number. That's the biggest number for anyone. His unfavorable is also really high. It's 48. Everyone has an opinion on this man. So Trump is -3, which is not great. You don't want to be -3. Also, not surprising to me, the most popular plus ratio of anyone out there is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is easy. You poll somebody generically, you give the Kennedy name, and this is the response you get. 44% of people like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Now, they don't know much about him. They just know he's a Kennedy, and so he polls favorably. Only 24% unfavorable. So he's plus 20. Now, the longer he stays in, if he really, what would really be great is if somewhere inside RFK Jr., and we don't know this, but he sure looks and sounds like a conservative running as a Democrat. If he really, really, really is conservative and knows he can't win or whatever because he can't get the Democrat nomination or go against the machine, if he really wanted to determine the outcome of the election, there is little doubt in my mind that if Robert F. Kennedy Jr. switched and became a third-party candidate, got on the ballot in all 50 states, Trump wins in a landslide. Trump might win every state if that happens. It just becomes a landslide for Trump because it would just siphon all these Biden voters away into the third party. What would Robert F. Kennedy Jr. get? He may get 20, 25%. Trump's getting his 45. We may have a horse race between Biden and RFK Jr. to see which one gets 25% and which one gets 20. I mean, that literally could happen if he became third party and was out there for people. And I think Robert F. Kennedy, even if he doesn't get the nomination, is going to get some write-in ballots. He's going to get some write-in votes. I think there's a lot out there to like about the way this is shaping up. And what I love about this poll is Biden's popularity or favorable rating is only 41, but his negative is 52. And I don't think he changes that 52. I think the negative rating is really the one to watch here. And it's a full 4.5 points higher than Trump, which is pretty hard to do. With all of the Trump bashing that goes on in this country, that's people just paying attention. If Biden's number is 4.5 points worse than Trump on unfavorable, I mean, it's obvious why. We know why. Jonathan Carl doesn't know why. They sit there and they're astounded that, oh my God, I can't believe that, you know, they're astounded by these things. But we know why. We watch him. We feel the economy. We know what's going on out here. So Biden is minus 11. That's death. There's no way anybody is minus 11 as an incumbent president and getting reelected. Ron DeSantis is still, in many circles, I believe, relatively unknown. So he does better too. Again, being a little bit unknown helps you here. Robert F. Kennedy isn't very well known. The name is, but he polls beautifully. DeSantis is plus 6. He has a 43% favorable and a 37% unfavorable. So that's why when you see all these attacks on DeSantis, why are they attacking? Well, their plan is to take Trump down. And if they do, they need to ramp up their negatives on DeSantis now because he just doesn't have the negatives of everyone else. I mean, that's 15 and a half points fewer negative DeSantis than Biden. That's a huge gap. That means if there were an election today, sometimes being a little bit unknown is great. Jimmy Carter sneaked in and did that in the 70s. It's not like people haven't heard the name Ron DeSantis, but most people, unless you're a conservative or you live in Florida, don't really pay that much attention to what he's doing. So his negatives are really low right now, and the Democrats are trying to hammer him on that. These poll numbers, to me, are all good. They're all good. And I've said it before. I think Trump's going to be the nominee, and I don't feel great about him winning the election. His best chance is going to be against Biden, clearly. Is the election rigged? Are there things going on in the swing states? I don't know. I don't know what the Democrats are up to. I just believe this very strongly. It would be awesome if we got a real third candidate. Because I just know this in my gut. Trump's people aren't leaving him. If you get a third candidate that gets anything, nobody is switching their Trump vote. They're just not. His voters will not leave him. So I'd love to see that. And if that's what is happening here, I feel like we're trying to punch Biden out with all doing all the stuff to him that they all do to Trump. Well, they're not going to punch Trump out. Trump's not going to quit. And Biden seems to me like a very strong candidate to quit. And Gavin Newsom's out there acting like he's running, but hasn't announced and isn't doing anything. And for some reason, Newsom and DeSantis are campaigning against each other. Is that for 28? I don't know what that's all about, but it's happening. Maybe they both think both of the other candidates are going to get knocked out because of the crimes or, you know, whatever happens. I don't know. I think the Republican money would be much better spent the next year and a half trying to prop up a third party candidate. Pick one, support them. I think right now, all this super PAC money ought to be behind RFK. Because I'll say this without flinching, and it may make your skin crawl, and you may not like hearing me say this, but it wouldn't be the end of the world if RFK became the candidate on the Democrat side instead of Biden, even if he won the presidency. I don't know what a lot of his Democrat policies are, but he is not a big liberal. He is not a leftist. He is not a socialist. That's obvious in everything that he does. It wouldn't be the end of the world. It wouldn't be Joe Biden, and it wouldn't be Barack Obama. Heck, I think he's right of Bill Clinton. So that wouldn't be the end of the world. I think a lot of our energy should be focusing on getting him up in the primaries and doing damage to Biden and making people on the left see where their party has gone wrong. I think that would be a wonderful thing for the next election, and I think there would be a trickle down from that to the House and the Senate. I think it would wake a lot of people up that have always voted Democrat, that don't know any other way, but would now realize, you know what, this party's left me. And it took RFK to show to me that it left me. Or Joe Manchin, if he gets in. Why wouldn't Joe Manchin run? I don't understand why Joe Manchin is not running as a Democrat. He has no chance of being reelected in the Senate in West Virginia. He's done. He's a dead man walking. It's over. Why isn't Manchin running as a Democrat? A centrist Democrat and primarying Biden and saying, we're closing the border. We're stopping this insanity. We're not going to have nudity and gay pride celebrations all over the White House lawn. We're going to try to find our way out of this war and stop this spending. We're going to have a balanced budget. We're going to, all these things. I mean, Manchin could go do this. If you're a Democrat, even if you're pretty far left, wouldn't you consider voting for Manchin over Biden because Biden doesn't know where he is? It's going to be a wild one, folks. It's going to be the craziest election of our lifetime. It is insanely unpredictable. There is just no reason to even try at this point. But I'm pretty sure my gut tells me a third-party candidate would be a good thing here. My gut tells me if a legitimate third-party candidate can come in and get even 5% of the vote, Trump's your next president. I believe that. All right, we'll do something different here to start the week. Instead of me, you know, we talk about our sponsors here on the podcast from time to time. I love it when you send me emails about your experience with the sponsors because that just works better. That's just better. So this one comes from Dave. He says, Kevin, my family had an interesting 3 days. We found a dead bat on the side of our house and noticed a bunch of bat poop. I called Advantage Pest Control to come out and take a look. They found a small hole in my siding. They checked to see if any bats were under the siding. Having found none, they caulked the hole and thought we were good to go. To keep the story short, we ended up finding 5 bats in our kitchen drawers over the next 2 days. They somehow got through the wall and down behind our kitchen cabinets. Oh, God. I'm sorry if I'm grossing you out with this story. Brad with Advantage been out to my house at Lake Lotawanna 3 times catching these bats. Okay, so it makes sense. It's a lake house. Here we go. More critters at lake house than other houses. We finally found out they were getting in. He sealed that hole, and I cannot say enough about Brad and Advantage. Truly a great company that I am recommending to anyone that will listen. My wife and two teenage daughters can now sleep without the covers over their face at our lake place. Love the podcast. Keep up the great work. Yes, Dave, yes. Advantage termite pest control. This is a good one. This is something I didn't know about our friends at Earth Effects Outdoor. They're online at eeoutdoor.com. They're landscaping, hardscapes, all that cool stuff. They were at my house recently, did some work for us. They're great. EE Outdoor can build or do anything for you outdoors at your house. This is from Troy. Dear Kevin, I've got a story I thought I'd share. My business, I have a water backflow preventer. All right, stop right there. I don't know what that is. I hear what it's describing, and maybe we all have one. I don't know. I've had no experience with a water backflow preventer. Most businesses have one of these devices, Troy says. It has been tested every year. I got a list of approved testers from the water department. I scrolled down the list and found a name I recognized for your podcast, Earth Effects. So I got in contact with Earth Effects Outdoor, and they were able to test the backflow preventer without me even needing to be there. They sent me an email with the invoice and sent in all the required documents to the water department for me. They made this so easy, and I wanted to share the story because I know a lot of your listeners are business owners and probably have one of these devices and need it tested annually. It's a service Earth Effects Outdoor does that I've not heard you mention. Well, I didn't mention it because I didn't know they did this. And I've talked to Daniel a few times and his crews. I didn't know this was something they did. But there you go. If you have a water backflow preventer at your business, Earth Effects will come out and take care of that for you and file all your paperwork. There you go. eeoutdoor.com. Who knew? And last week, we introduced you to Shane O'Connor at Vacation Alchemy, A-L-C-H-E-M-Y, Vacation Alchemy. Alchemy is a process of transformation and creation. He has about 20 vacation homes that they represent in the Orlando area around the theme parks, Universal, Disney, all those places. People love to vacation there. If you book them directly at Vacation Alchemy, it's 10 to 15% less than if you go on VRBO and rent his house. Same houses. These are themed houses. They have a Star Wars house. They have a Top Gun house. It's really cool for big families. They have one property that sleeps 30. They're doing huge discounts in July. They are not booked fully for July. If you're looking for a summer vacation or thinking about going to the parks this summer, they have a ton of availability next month at these 20 different properties. It's vacationalchemy.com. You will not find better vacation homes for your family than this. And you will save big if you do it directly at their website, vacationalchemy.com, and then put the promo code in, KKHI, and save even more. I think you're going to get another 10% off right there. So it'll be about 30% less than your VRBO price, the same house. Like, you can go on VRBO and find one of his houses, and you'll pay 30% more. Go directly to Shane's website, vacationalchemy.com, promo code KKHI. Of course, you can always email me and I'll pass along the information, but these are unbelievable properties in Florida. He's also got a property in the Tampa area, another one at St. Pete Beach, and he's expanding. They're looking for property owners. If you have a home in Florida and you would like to rent it for income, he comes in and remodels the inside, does a theme. They turn it into this, you know, really cool, wherever you are locally, like if it was in Fort Myers or Naples or something like that, it would have all kinds of cool local stuff in it. People go vacation there, and then he rents it for you and manages the property. If you're a homeowner in Florida and you'd like to learn more, go to Vacation Alchemy. Shane will take your house and transform it and turn it into something that can make you a bunch of money. Pretty cool stuff. Was in the Navy and U.S. intelligence. This guy's top notch. VacationAlchemy.com. Oh, NPR had a big week. I think this is becoming my big thing. Like, you know, so many people, like, if you get a disease or something, then that becomes your thing. If something happens in your family or you've lost somebody, that becomes your thing. You have a cause, you have a charity, you have a purpose. You know, for some, like Josh Hawley is a politician. His big thing is male strength. He thinks men in America are becoming too wimpy and whiny and soft. And so his big issue is trying to inform people that we need strong, masculine men in this country, that that's a necessary function of a winning society. Everybody has their thing. I think my thing is about to become getting rid of public broadcasting. I have always had arguments. I mean, I've had a long career with people that I've worked with about why do they get all this government funding And by the way, almost all of my career until I was successful in sports radio, every job I had, people that worked in public broadcasting made more money than I did in private broadcasting. That's just the way it worked. Still works that way today. They got big pensions. They got all this stuff that nobody in regular broadcasting has. It's not the real world. Think of it as like a university where you're almost tenured. You have all these benefits and all this money, and the work is really easy because there's a lot of people working there, and they give you every possible day off you can think of. There ain't nobody working down there on Juneteenth. That's not happening. They're all off today. All right? It's public broadcasting. I want to get rid of funding. They can stay. They need to survive completely on their own with no tax dollars. This is a joke. It's an absolute joke. So from time to time, I share with you some stories that we get from public broadcasting. This little gem was Friday on National Public Radio, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's thousands of affiliates. It's public broadcasting because it's funded by you. And it is socialist. It is propaganda. Castro would be proud of what is on NPR. Thrilled and proud of what's on NPR. So on Friday, they celebrated on NPR a man named, oh, doggone it, I didn't write his name down. Shucks. Oh, well. He's a 37-year-old man, and he stopped taking his beard-growing hormones after his double mastectomy. And he got knocked up. This is a woman, if you didn't know better, because only women can bear children. So this bearded lady, I don't know how else to say it. This bearded lady gave birth to a child. The bearded lady. And they celebrated nonstop on NPR on Friday, Father's Day, for this man that has given birth to two children and has two children. So this woman went out, chopped off her boobs, took a bunch of male hormones, grew a beard, stopped taking the hormones because of a surgery to chop off her boobs, and when she did, she got pregnant. I'm sorry. I've been saying the sexual minority because I just think that covers all the letters in the alphabet. But this one's a bearded lady. That's what this was. So NPR spends the entire day Friday celebrating a bearded lady that gives birth to two. That's it. That's your NPR. That's your tax dollars at work. And it is true. Millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars, federal dollars, going into NPR and PBS and public broadcasting, and Republicans need to stop it. In fact, maybe we should make up some t-shirts. Defund public broadcasting. That's it, man. Or defund public media. Any of that works for me. On to sports, but it's not really sports. I'm going to start with our friends Rob and Tina, and she listens to podcasts more than he does. He's a stuck-in-the-mud old routine guy that, you know, struggles to listen to music on Spotify, and he's always on the phone anyway. He's in sales, and he just grinds, and he works, and he's an awesome dude, but he doesn't listen to podcasts very often. That's okay. He liked my radio show back in the day, and that's good enough. They are amazing parents. And they have two kids, and they both play ball. And everybody has a little league story or something that happens, and they want to share it with you. And largely, you remember things about your kids or your grandkids that they did, and those are fun moments for your family. But if you go trying to tell the story to someone else, you can kind of see you're losing them pretty quickly because they're not that interested in hearing the stories about other people's little league kids or, you know, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. Well, that isn't the case here. And Rob and Tina don't run around telling stories about their kids playing sports. They don't. He loves to coach. It's just a huge part of their lifestyle, especially in the summer. They're all in, man. They are all in on the kids' sports. And I'm going to protect the kids' names because there's no reason to give their names and whatever. They have a daughter. I believe she is 16, maybe 15, 16. And the boy is probably about 12 or 13. And on Saturday morning, we were with them for a few minutes on Friday. And they said, yeah, we got to get up early. We got a 9 a.m. game. Okay, cool. 9 a.m. game. And then Tina was very excited because after the games they were going to play, They were going to the Royals. I mean, she loves the Royals. They're going to go to the Royals game. I said, well, they've lost 10 in a row. Maybe you'll be the good luck charm. They got a big Saturday ahead of them. 9 o'clock game. They're both at the boys game. And Tina's on some app. I thought she was being FaceTimed by another mom of the daughter's game, which she couldn't physically be at both, right? So they're at the boys game and she's watching on some app that they have now for parents that where you can watch, I guess there's a camera at every little league field everywhere. And it's probably just a high home camera right behind home plate or whatever. So she's watching on the phone, her daughter at the plate. When her son steps to the plate in front of her, she got two kids batting at the same time. The daughter on the phone hits her first ever over the fence home run at the exact same time the boy smashes one down the right field line and runs around the bases and gets an inside the park home run. She is watching two home runs at once. Now, I assume Rob was in the dugout. He coaches and whatnot and didn't see the girl's home run. But Tina, okay, so Tina is awesome. She's like this personality on steroids. She's never had a bad day. She's always smiling and laughing and upbeat and funny and loud. And she's just awesome like that. She must have come out of her skin when this happened. So I got a text from Rob that this occurred. We called Tina yesterday and got her on the phone and she was so excited. She was still a day later. She says, no, oh my God, we went to the Royals game. It was the greatest game ever. If we only went to one game all year, this was the one to go to. They won 10-9 and it was a walk-off. And she just had the best day ever. And I know it was Father's Day weekend, but I've heard some little league stories. That's pretty good. Watching on an app as your kids simultaneously hit home runs. That's awesome. And it isn't, I would say that's what it's all about, but it isn't. There's plenty of kids that play, you know, ball their whole life or whatever, never had a home run. And that's fine too. But that's just a neat thing for their family. She'll never, ever forget that moment. Never. Yeah, there's no way you ever forget that. I'm not sure I'll ever forget it. That was a crazy one. KKHI is brought to you by Back 9 Development, online at back9development.com. Your custom home builder in Kansas City, Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan. TJ Vilkanskas would love to meet with you about your project. If you're considering building a new home or business, or if you've got some property and you're thinking about building condominiums, commercial properties, something near where maybe the Royals are going to build a downtown ballpark, something like that. If you've got a group and you have investors and you'd like to talk to TJ about executing your vision, he'd love to meet with you. Just make the call. Say, TJ, what do you think? Well, you know what? Initially, just do it on the phone. Say, what do you think about something like this? And see where it goes. TJ Vilkanskas, 785-236-0161. That's 785-236-0161. Online at back9development.com. 360 Document Solutions. This one's pretty simple with Mark and his team. They're better than the big giant company you may be using. If you work with a corporation for your copiers, your printers, your phone systems at your office, you're paying too much. And I'd almost guarantee you, you've had service problems with those machines. He told me a story of a company that he has, a client that he has that at one point bought a dozen new phones from one of these companies and they shipped them to him in boxes. And that was it. They didn't set them up. They didn't show them how to use them. They didn't integrate anything. There is no service from these big corporations. And when you call the number, you're talking to somebody in India or Guatemala. No issue with those places. That's just not who you want to do business with your business. You need somebody locally. You need 360 Document Solutions. Anywhere in Missouri, Kansas, or Oklahoma, they will come to you. If something breaks, they fix it. They're people. They're on it. This is customer service, and it saves you money. 913-745-5344. Mark will get you out of the machines you're in now. He'll get you out of those leases. Get you into something that costs less, and you'll have a real person to call to come fix things when it's time. 360documentsolutions.com. Cross Kitchens KC is Kansas City's remodeler. Online at crosskitchenskc.com. The most common question I get about Cross Kitchens is, do they do things other than kitchens? Absolutely, they do things other than kitchens, for sure. Man cave, bathroom, all good things. Kansas City's remodeler is CrossKitchensKC.com. Family owned and operated in Belton, Missouri. It's a simple phone call. You can speak with Tim at 816-898-7047. They'll do a full 3D rendering of your project before you even have to decide whether you want to do it. You tell them what you're dreaming about, they'll design it up for you, they'll send it to you and say, what do you think? You make the call. CrossKitchensKC.com. The United States Open Golf Championship ended on Sunday. Wyndham Clark is your champion. He just won in May in North Carolina at a pretty big tournament, so he's playing great golf right now. He's had a long road. He's 29. He's had a long road to get where he is. His mother died of breast cancer about 10 years ago. He then was playing golf at Oklahoma State, walked away from that. His coach basically told him, he said he was so angry on the golf course after his mother died, he was breaking clubs, slamming things, cursing. And the coach said, you need to get away from this. Get away from golf. Go. And offered like a redshirt year. And Wyndham Clark interpreted that as an insult that I'm not good enough. And he walked away and he struggled and he didn't play golf. And then he wound up at Oregon after that and had gotten some, I mean, I don't want to say he needed like therapy or whatever, but he found people even recently within the last year that have helped him talk through a lot of the demons that he has. And golf, as you know, is an incredibly mental game. You have to stay focused, locked in. It's as mental as it is anything else. And this guy was the toughest, mentally tough guy on the course Sunday. He had a couple bogeys on the back nine. He was leaking oil. Rory McIlroy was, you know, bearing down on him. Rory missed some short putts or could have won this thing. Wyndham Clark wins by one stroke, and it was not a great tournament. I would love to sell this to you that this was some epic moment. There just wasn't. You kept waiting all day for somebody to go make shots and win the thing. And a lot of times that isn't what the U.S. Open is. It's just about survival. And that's what this was. On the 14th hole, he put the ball on the green in two on a par five, and that really set him up for an easy two putt. But even the last hole, he took the drama out of it. He had a 60-footer on the last hole with a one-shot lead, and he needed a two putt to win, and he lag putts it to like a foot. So it was guaranteed. But congratulations to Wyndham Clark. My takeaway from this U.S. Open was that course wasn't as good as they thought it was. There weren't very many great shots of consequence. And NBC televising golf is the worst golf experience on the planet. They're absolutely awful. They couldn't be worse. Unless you're like sitting in your chair alone, watching, locked in on everything they're saying, they think you know the course as well as they do. They think you know what hole they're on automatically by watching because it's never up in the corner. They don't put the player's name up there, the hole they're on, and what stroke it is. They never put that up. They just keep the top seven or eight players graphic up all day, and you don't know what's going on. It's terrible. We were watching outside yesterday with some friends, and we're chatting and stuff, trying to watch this thing. We're like, is this a par five? I'm like, I don't know. You can't tell because they have 240-some yards to the green, and you don't know whether it's a par four or a par five. NBC's awful. Maybe the best quality of Wyndham Clark, the new U.S. Open champion, is? I learned through my own research, not from NBC. One of the things he does at every tournament, every place he goes, I've not seen this because I'm not on Insta, as the kids say, Instagram. Every place he goes, he reviews tacos. That's kind of cool. Wyndham Clark is a taco aficionado. He is the first player ever from Colorado to win the United States Open. I think he's the first player ever from Colorado to win a major. Doesn't sound right, but I believe that's true. Congratulations to Wyndham Clark. Poor Bob Huggins is done at West Virginia. Bob Huggins had a rough week. Bob Huggins had a rough offseason. Bob Huggins is a very smart, very tortured man. He's a very likable man. He's a witty man. He's funny. He is enjoyable to be around, and he's got issues. Like, everybody's got issues. I've got issues. But my issues are tolerable enough that I can name my podcast Kevin Kietzman Has Issues, and it isn't really like Bob Huggins has issues. Bob Huggins has issues. Bob Huggins, sounding drunk 6 weeks ago or so, called into a radio show in Cincinnati where he used to be the head coach. Cincinnati and Xavier are both in Cincinnati. It's a huge rivalry, and I'm going to say it, so if the kids are in the car, turn it down right now and wait 10 seconds and turn it back up. I'll say what he said. He said the F word for gay men. And worse than that, he said Catholics. He said Catholic maggots is what he referred to the Xavier fans as. And I said at the time, I thought the gay F word was going to get him. But the outrage over what he said about Catholics, to me, was even more offensive. It's a larger group of people. And how do we get away with that? Is it okay to just make fun of Catholics? Apparently it is. It's the world we live in. We can make fun of Christians and Catholics and good people who go to church on Sunday and pay their bills and raise their families and do everything by the rules. We can make fun of those people. But not the topless, bearded person at the White House with a scarred up chest from surgeries removing boobs. Can't make fun of that person. Bob Huggins, at some point, will be a punchline, but right now it's kind of sad. Bob Huggins was pulled over in Pittsburgh on Friday evening at 8:30 with a 0.21 blood alcohol contact. There was a trash sack full of empty beer cans in his car. He was in Pittsburgh. He told the officers he was in Columbus visiting his sister-in-law. He apparently thought he was in Columbus, Ohio. Maybe he started in Columbus and got pulled over in Pittsburgh and didn't know where he was. It's still daylight when he's pulled over. This is terrible. After he made the gay slurs, they cut his salary by $1 million. They suspended him for 3 games. And he's had previous DUIs. This isn't his first. It's at least his second. That's it. I mean, that's just it. He's in the Hall of Fame. It's a shame for him because with NIL money flowing around at West Virginia, he just got one of his best classes ever. They're loaded with players. The NCAA immediately told everyone on the West Virginia team, you are free agents. You can go wherever you want. So every school in America now trying to steal the players away from West Virginia, they're in a bad way at the wrong time. The Big 12 is getting harder in basketball. West Virginia took a pretty big hit here. That's pretty sad about Bob Huggins. Speaking of gay slurs, in Las Vegas, over the long weekend, I think this might have been Thursday night. It might have been Friday, but it might have been Thursday night of last week. There was a CONCACAF soccer match between Mexico and the United States. Mexican fans have a tradition. Now, wait, because 25 years ago we did this in this country. When I was a kid, you know, I've outed my children on this. My kids are 27, 29, and 33. When they were in high school, which wasn't that long ago, they all said things like, Dad, that's gay. Well, they don't say it anymore. We said words when we were kids. I didn't know anything about gay people, but we knew it was something. And when we said things, right? We did this. And we don't now. You can't now. You can't say that now. But the rest of the world doesn't pay attention to our stupid things here. In Mexico, they just love finding heterosexuals and calling them homos. They think that's funny. So when Mexico is losing 3-0 to the United States in this CONCACAF match, they decide to get all over the U.S. goalkeeper. And this is their tradition. Mexican soccer fans pick on the opposing team's goalkeeper in the end zone because they know he can hear him, and they just fire gay slurs at him all night long. Doesn't mean you're gay. That's just what they're calling you. And they did this nonstop over and over and over to the U.S. goalkeeper in this match. They stopped the match. The Mexican soccer authority said, that's it. We warned the fans, you can't do this anymore. We're stopping the match. They stopped the match. It was over. They ended it because of gay slurs. Mexico fans. We're really different than the rest of the world. We used to be different than the rest of the world in a good way. We're really different. I'm not saying you should holler gay slurs at people, but taking this stuff so seriously is insane. It's insane. Mexican fans are not going to stop. Chiefs heard it. We've heard Chiefs played down there. They've heard it. Everybody hears it. You go play in Mexico, you're going to hear gay slurs. And they've learned how to say them in English, but if you don't speak Spanish, they really go crazy in Spanish. I don't know what this was in Vegas, whether it was both languages or what, but it was nonstop, so they stopped the match. Speaking of stopping something, how about this one? In North Carolina, they had the Big Blue Marlin fishing tournament over the weekend. This is the biggie. Sushi is the name of the boat that won. Sushi and her crew reeled in a 484.5-ounce Blue Marlin and won, wait for it, $2.7 million. Now, I don't know how much money it costs to get in this tournament. It's got to be a lot. but Sushi won $2.7 million. That's not the headline. Sushi caught the second biggest marlin and won. Oh boy, this story's just getting good. Their marlin was 484 pounds and they won. On Saturday, when they were weighing in and everybody brought in their trophy marlin, Sensation, the name of the boat, Sensation, put him up on the scale, a whopper, 619 pounds. That's what, 140 pounds more than the one that was declared winner. Why was Sensation's blue marlin not declared winner? When they put the marlin up on the scales and started taking the photos, congratulating them on the prize that they'd won, they noticed a shark bite near the head of the marlin. A shark bite. This is unknown to me. I thought, oh, if they took this away, there must have been weights inside the fish or something. They cheated, they did something, or had been, you know, I don't know what. There was a shark bite near the head. They pulled it down. They didn't declare a winner. The judges all met. The panel all met. They waited 24 hours on Sunday. They disqualified the 619-pound blue marlin from Sensation. The rules are this. You can't catch a distressed fish. Sometimes fish die on their own. Sometimes fish are attacked, and you can get them in your boat, and that is not real fishing. Now, what's unknown is, were they reeling this fish in, because it takes sometimes an hour or longer, right? Were they reeling it in, a shark took a bite out of it? That seems unfair. If you're reeling in a fish, a marlin, and a shark takes a little bite out of it and there's bite marks, I mean, a distressed fish in the water is going to get attacked. That seems harsh to me. There is no question they caught it. There's no question it was alive when they caught it. There's also no question that at some point a shark bit it around its head. I guess they're saying maybe this one would have gotten away if the shark hadn't bitten it or something like that. I'm surprised to hear those are the rules of the game. But it cost Sensation $2.7 million. Amazing. Here's a story you won't hear every day. St. Louis Cardinals baseball team. David Freese, World Series MVP, 2011. Dude had 21 RBIs in the postseason that year for the Cardinals. Like, he was the Cardinals. He was the MVP of the NLCS. Then he was MVP of the World Series. By a fan vote, Cardinal fans have voted David Freese into their Hall of Fame. David Freese had to announce after they did this that he's been stressed about this for quite some time because he's going to have to take a pass on the honor. David Freese was voted into the St. Louis Cardinals Hall of Fame and he says no thanks. Now, there is no bad blood here. He loves St. Louis. I think he's from there. He loves St. Louis. He loves the Cardinals. He's part of the organization. He remembers it fondly. He roots for the team. He loves the fans. There is nothing. There's nothing with ownership. There's nothing. David Freese said, I played 5 years here with the Cardinals. My resume is not worthy of this club's great Hall of Fame. I don't belong. Wow. I mean, count me in as a David Freese fan. This dude did play 11 years overall, so he played 6 more years not with the Cardinals. Man, I'm sorry. I think a lot of teams look at their Hall of Fame and go, the years you played with other teams kind of count too. You played 11 years in the big leagues. Your best years were here with the Cardinals. You know, like I got room for Johnny Damon and Carlos Beltran. I got room for those guys in the Royals Hall of Fame. I just do. David Freese said, no thanks. And the Cardinals said, we totally respect this man. We'd love to have him in, but we respect it. I've never heard of anything like that. I mean, he wasn't just a dude now. He went out and won the NLCS MVP, the World Series MVP, and was an all-star for the Cardinals the next year. I'd really like to meet him. I would like to have dinner with David Freese. That sounds like a man of... I will bet my bottom dollar he's conservative. Anybody want that one? I bet my bottom dollar that David Freese is conservative. All right, our final today is brought to you by Dr. Jeremy Fry and Fry Orthodontics. I saw their new TV commercial this weekend during the U.S. Open. Jeremy sent it to me several weeks ago and said, which version you like better? He was asking me about the voiceover guy on there. And I was honored. He was asking about my input. I said, well, I like the one where he's a little more lighthearted. Tongue in cheek, I like that one. And so the spot came on. You'll see it. He's got a new TV commercial out there. It's all these people in tooth costumes running. It says teeth love us, Fry Orthodontics. And they do. Your teeth love Fry Orthodontics. They're going to look beautiful and give you a confident smile. For a free consultation, call them. Log on to fryorthodontics.com and find the location near you. There's 13 of them. Your smile is just the start at Fry Orthodontics. Advanced medical imaging. See what's inside at medimageks.com. If you need an MRI or a CT scan, because your doctor has ordered it, sometimes it takes 3 weeks for you to get that. Not at Advanced Medical Imaging. They'll get you right in. They will take your insurance. Even if your doctor was trying to send you somewhere else, you can go to Advanced Medical Imaging. If you want to get the heart scan and find out your plaque score, that's out of pocket less than $100. Why wait? See what's inside today or tomorrow at medimageks.com or call Advanced Medical Imaging at 785-856-0224. And my friends at Roberts Robinson Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, and Excelsior Springs, home of the lifetime warranty, included free. They are awesome. I'm going to be visiting them some point later this summer. I'm going to need new tires on my Blazer. I'm at about 26,000 miles. I think I could probably go another five. I just don't like the way they kind of look. And no, they're okay. Nobody's told me I need new tires yet, but I'm going to get my new tires at Roberts Robinson because they're good dudes. They know exactly what to put on, and they have a wonderful service department there as well. Online at robertsrobinson.com. Our final is Kevin is married to a softie. Now, guys, ladies listening to, most guys that are married think their wife can be pretty tough. They do. They're pretty tough. Most of this just stems from the difference between men and women. That's what I always chalk it up to be. You kind of learn that as you get older. Jessica, I don't think anybody would really describe her as soft. Just her soft side doesn't come out a lot. She loves and likes, and especially dogs and puppy and family and things like that. It's not that, but I just like this soft side. Like, yeah, you don't see it very often. I tasked her as the president of Crooked Tail Media with selecting the three winners to go to the Craft Spirit Festival at Harrah's over the weekend on Saturday. Remember, we were taking emails last week for Father's Day. If you want to go, live cigar rolling, 100 different cocktails or whatever that you would get to sample. We were going to have three winners. And so I gave her all the entries. I said, you pick. And you email all these folks because I'm always emailing people. She was okay with that. She couldn't narrow it down to three. She couldn't do it. She's so soft. She called the dude that was offering up the freebies, somebody that she had known or saw. I forget the guy's name. I'm sorry, but he was great. He was like, hey, you want to give some of these away on your podcast? Sure. You got something you want to give away? Get a hold of us. We'll give it away on the podcast. We'll do that for you. Sure. So she calls him up and says, can I have some more? He's like, huh? Like, that is almost always something she'd come to me and go, hey, I can't decide on just three. Can you call this guy and get more? I'll be like, come on, you're putting me in a bad spot. No. She called and got more. I don't know how many of you won, but I got a bunch. I got more than three emails from people that went on Saturday. So I got to ask her today exactly how many she gave away. I think she maybe gave away seven or eight or something like that. She's so soft. She couldn't narrow it down to three. So a whole bunch of you went to this thing, and congratulations on winning. And I got emails from some of you that had a great time. So we're glad you did. We'd love to give away free stuff. If your business wants to give away something free, let me know. I'll give it away right here on Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.